I'm Neely Jones, your host of Focus on Suppliers. The changing values and habits of shoppers is driving change and growth in retail. Carrie Bailey explains how Pets is undergoing a category reinvention, driving trips to the store. And inventor Andy Kavowitz puts a colorful spin on Christmas lights. And logistics expert Colby Beland gives a quick update on Walmart's changing MABD requirements. Focus on Suppliers starts right now.
Focus on Suppliers is presented by 8th & Walton, the premier destination for supplier development, and sponsored in part by Dun & Bradstreet, Saatchi & Saatchi X, CaseStack, Excel Displays & Packaging, and other outstanding companies.
Your millennial fun fact is that 43% of the growth in the pet category in the last 8 years has actually come from millennials. We know 1 in 3 pet owners are millennials. They care more than any generation about how their pets are treated, both by themselves and the people that take care of them. And that includes everything, including what we feed them, the toys that they play with, and how they engage with them. It's very easy to think about motivating a millennial with pet products. They're already emotionally connected. But we have to make sure that we're authentic about when we talk about the products and where they come from. Making sure you're listing food ingredients and talking about the sourcing of the food is just as important to all of the benefits that come from the food product. In the store environment and online, we need to make sure that we're segmenting the products and the supplies by the different types of segments that they're associated with their pet, whether that's age or the life cycle. Making sure that we make it as easy as possible for them to take care of their friends, the pets, is most important. And we'll see you for your next Millennial Minute.
The pets category is so fun to examine because we've seen so many changes. With us today, Carrie Bailey from Menasha to really take a more in-depth look at this category, which has become, as you say, a trip driver.
It's a very belonging and endearment category. And when you look at endearment categories, they drive trips for consumers. Consumers want to touch and feel endearment category items, and pets, I mean, they're near and dear to our heart. So people want to touch and feel that store.
And as we see the humanization of pets, we are really seeing the category grow.
Well, you look at packaging and presentation around the humanization effort. Innovation is being driven through that humanization effort. And in the innovation, you have to have improved graphics. You have to have improved merchandising techniques. And it's really changing the business. When you look back, you and I talked about it. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have seen a cooler over in the pet category. And now you do. You have fresh and you have offerings that are driving innovation. And those are changing packaging and supply chains.
So let's look at the complexity of that and customization.
Well, think about that when you have evolving categories like pet ice cream and pet lollipops and the things that need refrigeration or customization. You look at the improvement in packaging alone. The improvement in printing and delivery of that humanization presentation is driving a lot of different types of innovation around packaging and presentation. So we're moving towards the pet category as a way to help bring more life in the category, make it present to the consumer in a way that honors that endearment that they have for their pet.
So in looking forward, how do suppliers prepare for the changes that are coming? Because you were telling me this is a $1 billion category.
This is a growing category, and you look at the $65 billion industry, the growth is also coming from our youngest generations. Our millennials and Gen Xers are 3 times more likely to have a pet and 3 times more likely to gift to that pet. When you think about that endearment that they have, we can see growth in the category in the future, so retailers and suppliers can invest in better techniques to merchandise and present to those consumers.
Which really, when you look at that, you have to keep in mind that you're still seeing premium space.
Absolutely. Feature space is being devoted by a lot of retailers to this category to not only honor the trip mission of the shopper, but to show and and offer differentiation in the category.
Because the dog or cat is now, or fish or bird, whatever it may be, is no longer thought of as a pet. It's more of a child for people.
It's part of the family. And they want to spend as much of their emotional bucket to that family member as they would across any other member.
So when moving forward, how would you guide a supplier?
I think you want to look at your portfolio. When you look at packaging and merchandising and display vehicles, look at that portfolio and make sure that it's starting to take on the characteristics that we see within the category. The humanization, there has to be lifestyle photography, there needs to be pets in motion, it's no longer a silhouette shot. Things like that are evolving as part of that humanization.
And this can really make a big difference when we look at the bottom line.
Absolutely. Whether it's sustainability, whether it's gross sales, it's presentation to those evolving generations that are spending money in this category.
What's one of the biggest changes that you've noticed in this category?
I think it's the evolution of the quality effort that's being put forth by the suppliers. We're talking about quality ingredients. Pet industry is no longer a grain and protein industry. Mm-hmm. It's toys, it's treats, it's activities, it's general merchandise. There are a lot of things that are floating to the top inside the category that are way beyond just natural foods.
Becoming very competitive. Carrie Bailey, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Be sure to like 8th and Walton on Facebook.
On today's show, we're talking about reinvention, and one of the categories in stores going through a major reinvention is the category of books. Print books are coming back in a big way, and we're lucky enough to have, from ReaderLink, our Director of Sales, Ms. Brenda Allison. Brenda, thank you for taking time to visit with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
I'm very excited to learn more about Trolls.
Absolutely. Doesn't this look fun?
Yes.
Trolls is the number one family movie in America right now, and this is called A Busy Book. It's designed for kids 3 and up, and it's a book, so it's got a little story, but in the back...
Oh.
It has characters and toys. So go ahead and pull them out, play with them. Here's Poppy. She's the star of the movie. There's a little mat, so kids or adults can play with it. As a mom, I love it because it's one package, one low price, and you get so much activity out of it. No screens, can occupy your kids for a while.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
A little play set in the book.
Yeah, right in a book.
So for fans of John Grisham, I also see he has a new novel in the series.
For your older readers, we've got... the number one legal thriller author in America. It's been over 20 years since The Firm. And this is another book that will keep you up late at night on judicial intrigue and a real page turner. So it's a great read.
Now, being in this business, you must love books. So I'm excited to hear what's on your nightstand. What would you recommend that we take a look at going into the holiday season?
Sure. I just finished Jodi Picoult's newest book. It's called Small Great Things. She's best known for writing about controversial topics from different points of view. And this is, just like her other books, a great read that will keep you up at night, just like the Grisham. So, recommend.
All right. Brenda Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
We talk about reinvention. It can take on many different forms, especially when we're talking about leadership and management skills. That brings me to some folks you need to know from Soderquist Leadership. Please help me welcome. We've got Chuck Hyde and Alex Cornett with us today. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Neely. It's good to be here.
Summarize, if you can, quickly, a little bit about Soderquist.
So, quickly, we do leadership development, team development, and organizational development. One of the places we do that deeply is in the supplier community and with Walmart. And so, one of the things that we've really gotten into here recently, which is, I think, really relevant for your audience, is what we're calling the Supplier Circle. Mm-hmm. And it's a new program that we've launched. We're about to launch our third cohort to really develop high-potential leaders inside the supplier community.
And Don Soderquist founded this and started this, and you really care forth a lot of the things from Walmart and partner with them.
Absolutely. So from a cultural standpoint, Don always set our drumbeat and how we look at leadership, and so that's still there. But in terms of the current expression, both on the Walmart side and the supplier side, we really try to stay on the cutting edge of that.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some gaps and opportunities for leadership and growth in the area?
Originally started asking the question not about supplier community, but just about leadership in general.
Mm-hmm.
Where are there big gaps? And we finally discovered that, you know, believe it or not, the opportunity to work with Walmart is a differential experience in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't a lot of leadership development work in tangent with that coming out of some of the major corporations that we visited with. So after a series of conversations that we had in the marketplace, we found that some of the key gaps were, you know, the reality is that the size of the prize, the cost of a failed interaction with this customer is impactful for most organizations. Mm-hmm. We found out that attracting and retaining the best talent in the marketplace is a huge, huge challenge for most major organizations. And so those sorts of things began to pop up in recurring form in many of our conversations.
It seems like you're just building momentum. What's happening there? What's the future look like?
People that are leading a particular category or a certain desk in their company that have a great opportunity inside their company for development, and let's prepare them for the role they're in, but also for the track ahead. And so I think the trend has been more toward the individual leader here mm-hmm. and deeper investments in key spots.
What are some of the things you do in your training?
It's a series of interactions with a small cohort of leaders, emerging leaders in the marketplace. It takes us about 6 or 7 months. And in the course of that, they actually have small half-day sessions that we conduct at different sites to give them a little different experience. We also, they spend a little time out at our retreat center at Greystone. And it's an intensive program, 3.5 days long, that we really spend a lot of time investing in discussing their own leadership capabilities. Again, the idea being, how do we help them not just be better supplier partners, but how do we help them be better executives for their organizations later on?
Yeah, and I think the blend of having the supplier cohort, where we've really been able to create a non-compete environment. Mm-hmm. So that's really a non-issue in this. So it's really about leadership development and understanding their roles and how they can build a network within the supplier community. And then the intensive that they go through at Milestone is actually with people from all industries, right? So now they get out of the supplier bubble and get exposed to their peers that are in other industries and other geographies that don't necessarily understand the dynamic here. So it's really got a duality in terms of the benchmarking they're getting from their peers around other roles.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to be here today. We could go on and on. Just fantastic what you do. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Neely.
We'll be right back. Joining us now, a familiar face, literally, he will probably look familiar to you. Please welcome Andy Kavovit. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You started out in television and soap operas. How did we get to you now representing a product?
Wow. You know, creative person, always inventing and creating things, and learned very early the power of television with marketing. And, you know, I was able to create a TV show called Hatched, which enables entrepreneurs to get products accelerated to retail. So, you know, I used what I knew to kind of create the platform.
You were here to speak with the folks at Sam's about this awesome product, which is so fun, Leave Up Lights. Let's tell the folks a little bit about this.
So Leave Up Lights is hopefully every man's best friend. No, no more ladder, no more hooks, no more neighbor's dirty looks, because you put them up and you leave them up. Think of a landscape lighting or a patio light, except when Christmas comes around, you push Santa Claus and it performs a Christmas light show. For Halloween, Easter, 4th of July, every holiday throughout the year, it does the same thing. It's also customizable for your favorite sports teams, the Super Bowl, awareness weeks, things like that. So it's a commercial system. The manufacturer manufactures for Disney and Six Flags and Busch Gardens and places like that. And now with Leave Up Lights, we're kind of bringing that technology to homes and small businesses across America.
How'd you get to your price point? I think it's $55?
Yeah, we're hovering right around the $55 mark. I mean, what we want, and maybe we learned this a little bit from Sam, is the idea to sell more at less. So we want this on American homes. And to make it affordable, make it price competitive with alternatives that are out there right now is important to me and to our business.
A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about quickly. You mentioned the importance of not giving up when working with a big company like Sam's. How did you finally get them to hear you?
You know, I ended up through the TV show being able to present the product. And after they reviewed it and compared it to what their very successful line item was for that, they realized that the technology that I have can't be matched. And that's what brought me here to Bentonville now.
So fair to say, utilizing relationships and getting in front of them.
Utilizing relationships, getting in front of them, never stopping with a no.
And you said kind of, too, you noticed something different when it comes to the big corporate world and maybe dealing with a smaller entrepreneur, a different feeling.
It is a different feeling, and thank goodness for it, because getting to back to American entrepreneurs, American manufacturing, and all of those types of things is important. And I think, you know, Roz at Sam's Club and Doug at Walmart have done a great job, intentionally or not, in letting the entrepreneur know that they are accessible. And it's not difficult. They're actually outreaching to entrepreneurs and communities like us to find the next big product.
We know you're very busy. Thank you for being here today. I want to be sure and tell our viewers it is remote controlled and you can also eventually use it through Wi-Fi. You might have to buy one accessory, but
that's
you'll
right.
be able to do that. Thank you again for being
Absolutely.
here.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back. You can see all episodes and extended interviews at Vimeo.
Bentonville Plaza, across the street from the Walmart home office. The best office location offers proximity and services like no other business complex in the area. Call 479-200-1112 today.
Armatron impressed me when I bought a watch in 2005 before my second deployment to Iraq. And on that deployment, I was hit by a roadside bomb, and I was wearing that Armatron watch. It's almost as if that watch was a part of me. It went through the explosion. It sat in a drawer, lonely. It was like my depression. And to pull it out, clean it off, put it on, and it still worked, is my story.
Mark your calendars. Saturday, December 3rd is the 23rd annual charity ball for Mercy Health Foundation, Northwest Arkansas. Save your seat at mercy.net/NWA-charity-ball or call 479-338-2990.
Haystack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, Haystack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. Haystack, retail logistics is what we do.
Just had your buyer meeting. Now there's follow-up to do. Maybe your buyer wants more on seasonal sales or invited you to prepare a joint business plan or set up a date for your line review. 8th and Walton can help. Our experts work with you one-on-one in a confidential setting to prepare for your next buyer meeting. The classes we offer help you too. Retail Link, Supply Chain Management, Inventory Management, taught in cities across the country, in Canada, and in Latin America. So before your next buyer meeting, contact 8th and Walton. Then relax, knowing that you will be ready.
This is Jeff Amrine, and I'm standing in the center of the Innovation District in Northwest Arkansas with Dr. James Rankin, the Vice Provost for Research and Economic Development at the University of Arkansas. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Thank you.
So tell us what role the University of Arkansas plays in innovation and entrepreneurship.
Well, number one, we've got a lot of students, and we'd like for those students to have jobs when they get done. And so we can either attract companies to come to the area or grow companies, or better yet, we can start our own companies. And so we like to see the research turn into commercialization, turn into startup companies, turn into jobs. So from our perspective, we play a great role in the innovation ecosystem here.
And we've got proximity here at the Fayetteville Square to the university. It's literally walking distance to the main campus. How does all that density of activity matter in innovation entrepreneurship?
You know, I think originally we thought, well, the global campus and the square was a little far away, but now it's really in the heart of what we're trying to do. I think you're going to see more and more university activity up around the Fayetteville Square.
That's great. And so if you think about the retail and the consumer packaged goods companies that are here, how is it that the university plays kind of a major role in making sure they've got the talent they need and the new innovation?
Well, I think that's where we look at what those companies are doing. You know, that drives what goes on in the curriculum, that drives what the students are doing for their projects, it drives what a lot of the innovations we're doing. And so I think you're seeing not only the students, but you're seeing those innovations come out of the university. They're applicable to a lot of the companies you find in Northwest Arkansas.
And it really is a multidisciplinary tasking. It's not just the College of Business. It crosses all disciplines, doesn't it?
Oh, it has to be, because, you know, sometimes we get a little siloed in the university, but when you're out in industry, it's definitely interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, and we've got to do a good job of making sure we represent that for the graduates that come out. So it really is teams from engineering, mm-hmm. agriculture, education, and I know I'm going to leave out a few of them, but business, they're all working together to that's really the strong point of what we're doing.
Well, and it's exciting times. It's always fun when the football team is winning, and innovation and entrepreneurship is also kind of a centerpiece of what we're doing.
It really is. It really, I think people in some ways are surprised by the way that entrepreneurship has taken over at the university. Mm-hmm. But boy, it really has had a big impact, not only in the Northwest Arkansas, but the state of Arkansas.
You can definitely see it tangibly, and all of these innovation entrepreneurship ecosystems that have been successful nationwide had a major research university right at the center. So we couldn't be happier to be affiliated with the university and to have you here.
Well, we appreciate it, because we really believe that of all the global challenges and grand challenges out there facing the world, there's no reason we couldn't solve them starting in Arkansas.
That's fantastic. Thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
When we look at reinvention, Walmart is looking at supply chain reliability, which means we need to talk with an expert. That brings me to our next guest, Kobe Bland, who is here from CaseStack. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
What does this mean as far as change and what suppliers need to really be tuned into?
It's a great question. There's a lot of uncertainty under the new supply chain reliability program. At YBM this year, Walmart announced a change in the supply chain reliability program that's been in place since 2010, that they're going to go from a 4-day window to a 1-day window for consumables and dry grocery, and from a 4-day window to a 2-day window for general merchandise and soft lines. So that's a pretty substantial change from a delivery requirement, which is likely going to drive up suppliers' costs to deliver their goods to Walmart. The interesting thing about this is since 2010, when supply chain reliability started, there's two distribution networks within Walmart. There's the high-velocity distribution network and the regional distribution center network. The high-velocity distribution network since 2010 has been a one-day window at 90%. The change in the reinvention of the supply chain reliability program, the high-velocity is going from one day at 90% to one day to 95%. But the regional distribution network is going from 4 days at 90% to 1 day 95 or 2 days at 95, depending upon your product line. It's a pretty significant change. There's been no exact definition from Walmart defining when the actual program will go into place, the changes will go into place. But the interesting thing is we've heard from a significant number of suppliers that they don't seem to be too concerned about it because they don't believe it's going to happen.
Well, and you say that's just not smart. You're just with your head in the sand if that's what you're...
Absolutely. It's not smart. And what I would point to them is for the people that say Walmart can't do it, they've already been doing it in the high-velocity network since 2010. Mm-hmm. So they know how it works. They know how it flows, and they can very clearly execute it. We have, as a company, we've been able to participate in two summits over the last month educating suppliers with Walmart on consolidation and how it works, because it appears that one of the only ways that LTL suppliers are going to be able to hit this window without driving up their costs is to utilize consolidation. So Walmart seems to be very interested in educating the suppliers on how consolidation can benefit them, because they realize that this cost may drive up the supplier's cost, this change may drive up the supplier's cost, mm-hmm. and consolidation is a viable, you know, aspect for them. So the biggest challenge is getting suppliers to accept that the change is coming and know what the options are available and how to prepare for it.
So let's talk about that. What are some options and how do they prepare?
Well, you keep your head in the sand and get bit, which I don't think is the wise one, but really there's only two options. You would have to pay a guaranteed LTL service, which is going to drive your costs up, and there's probably no real guarantee that you're going to be able to hit a one-day window at 95% utilizing that service. Or you can look at one of the third-party consolidators that it has a consolidation program established with Walmart that is going to be able to hit the one-day window.
And we all know it's always better to be in front of a change than behind it. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for the frank information.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Visit us at 8thandwalton.com to learn how you can become a better partner with Walmart.
Armatron impressed me when I bought a watch in 2005 before my second deployment to Iraq. And on that deployment, I was hit by a roadside bomb, and I was wearing that Armatron watch. It's almost as if that watch was a part of me. It went through the explosion. It sat in a drawer, lonely. It was like my depression. And to pull it out, clean it off, put it on, and it still worked, is my story.
CaseStack, the leader in collaborative retail consolidation programs. We offer the supply chain expertise needed to navigate the challenges of selling products with the world's largest retailers. And we provide customers with a customizable, scalable, environmentally sustainable supply chain with the same advanced technology typically used by larger rivals. By leveling the playing field, CaseStack lowers distribution costs and increases overall margins. CaseStack, retail logistics is what we do.
Bentonville Commerce, less than 1 mile from the Walmart home office. You'll love the convenience, amenities, and customized options Bentonville Commerce offers. For more information or a tour, call 479-200-1112 today.
Join YouthBridge to make this season extra special for the hundreds of young people who face this time of year cold, hungry, and alone. You can help us provide food, shelter, and gifts so they can experience the same blessings as many of us. Go to youthbridge.com for your tax-deductible donation.
You just had your buyer meeting. Now there's follow-up to do. Maybe your buyer wants more on seasonal sales or invited you to prepare a joint business plan or set up a date for your line review. 8th and Walton can help. Our experts work with you one-on-one in a confidential setting to prepare for your next buyer meeting. The classes we offer help you too. Retail Link, Supply Chain Management, Inventory Management, taught in cities across the country, in Canada, and in Latin America. So before your next buyer meeting, contact 8th and Walton. Then relax, knowing that you will be ready.
We know from time to time, as a business, a supplier, you will have legal questions. And for that reason, we now have legal experts joining us on the show. That brings you to our next guest. Please help me welcome TJ Mantooth, who comes to us from Hall Estill. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I want to jump right in. We're talking about trademarking today. What is a reason a company might want to trademark something?
Well, a trademark is really to legitimize a company, in my opinion. Whenever you have a brand that's something that represents you as a company, or a logo, or a symbol, or even a motto, it really is important to get that registered and to show the public and to other businesses that you mean that this is the showcase of your company and of your corporation.
And that you're serious about what you're doing as
Absolutely.
You move forward. And that brings me to another question. You'll hear people talk about, well, I filed something within the state.
Right.
But you probably want to do a federal trademark.
Right. It is possible to do something in a state, municipality, but those things only extend to the municipality or the state. So if you go across state lines, especially with online sales or any offerings, you really want something that's federally registered.
And you also want to keep in mind, we were discussing before, if you trademark something, when you put it on different types of products, there's a difference there.
Right. There absolutely is. And it makes big budget concerns. I mean, that's why you really, in my opinion, need to consult an attorney, is to see where best can I put a trademark, whether it's for overall services or is it something that's specifically to a T-shirt or a hat or specific products? Do I want the symbol? Do I want my service mark? Or do I want my brand name itself? I mean, all those things are considerations you definitely want to take into account.
Your slogan, anything.
Absolutely.
And just because you trademark it for a hat doesn't mean it's trademarked for a T-shirt.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And those are important distinctions, especially when you're living in an online age, whenever you have different things being branded in different ways. Those trademark strategies, if you plan for them, they can be very advantageous to you.
Well, let's talk about planning. You mentioned budgets, costs. What are we looking at?
So any company can apply for any number of trademarks by themselves. They can fill out the application for a trademark online. It's pretty simple, cost a couple hundred dollars. I always suggest consulting an attorney to be able to distinguish which goods and services you want to do, but it can vary anywhere from a couple hundred dollars all the way up to a couple thousand, depending on how thorough of a search you want to do, how sure you are that that company name or logo or whatnot is not already being used.
And also, we want to tell people that while they're trying to make some decisions about what they're going to do, there is something they can do in the meantime.
Sure. Okay. So one of the things any supplier should do is immediately start using the TM mark. And that shows that even though it's an unregistered brand, it is something that you plan on using the common law rights for that logo or mark or anything. So use the TM all the time.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back.
Our guests enjoy staying at the 21C Museum Hotel and hosting dinner, meetings, and product launches there.
That does it for this week's show, but I've got a few key takeaways for you. In retail, the cost of failed interaction, so it's high. Take advantage of training and networking opportunities and prepare your leaders fully. You'll reap the benefits. Millennials more connected than ever to their pets. Suppliers from all categories should welcome these newest family members with open arms. And when you do reinvent, don't forget about copyrights. If that applies, get those ducks in a row from day one. Thanks for joining us.